Yes, hello, this is Danhausen here, very nice for evil, and you are listening to Bob After Dark. Subscribe or be cursed.
From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, where the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello, everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing.
No, it's too hot for that.
And I forgot you're not wearing your cape. It's too hot in here. You guys might be seeing me on the screen today. I'm melting. It's a crisp 85 degrees in the studio.
But you know what, though, Bob? We got to, we only put up with for a little bit, and I know earlier. They were doing a little work there on the air conditioning. Gotta thank both of those fellas here for doing some work. And we got our fans, Bob. In the old days, nobody complained. They just sat in their house and took it.
You know, I did a little stroll through the studio before we started, and I popped in the preacher's office, and I was like, hey, I'm sorry that you got to suffer when we're not here.
What's that?
And then it makes me wonder if, do spirits feel temperature changes like we do?
Is that true?
I don't know. I've never heard of.
We should probably research that, shall we?
That's a good topic.
You think like there's less ghosts in Florida because it's too hot?
We did an episode years ago about haunted Disney, so I'm sure that there's.
It's not too hot. Kicking around.
There's St. Augustine, one of the most haunted cities in America, is in
Florida.
There
you have it. Well, there you go.
So maybe they don't feel heat, but I still apologize to Preacher that the air conditioning wasn't working.
Well, you know what? Oh, I just brined you up there a little bit, Bob, on the camera. Hopefully that works on the YouTube. Also, R. Rome.
Hello,
howdy Rome. Says howdy, howdy, howdy. And of course, don't be confused. It is not Friday if you're watching the YouTube. It's just Tuesday. It's what they call it. It's ironic, Bob, that I'm wearing a casual Friday shirt on a Tuesday night here.
That's fair. All right. You know, Count, is this your first time watching or listening to Bob After Dark?
Yeah.
Is it really?
I never listen. What's the show about?
You know, we're a weekly-ish show where we talk about legends, lore, and the supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories. We're like those guys you see on TV, except we have a sense of humor.
Is that going to be your new part of the show?
No, it's just one of them, yes.
I know it's burned to you say it all, it's burned in the time of your memory because you say it at the cons, but you never said that live on the show.
No, but I could change it up. I just thought we'd change it up once, but that's my go-to on the cons.
Okay.
Because the elevator pitch has got to be a little quicker than the other ones where it's like, you know, Bob After Dark is a show about legends, lore, and supernatural things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories, and of course, Count Panic's favorite something. Yeah. But I switched it up this week. Wow. But I'll go back to it.
Oh,
so, Count, what's your favorite? What's your favorite flavor snow cone?
Cherry, probably. Or blue raspberry, right? Those are two of the fan favorites. But we'll go with the cherry there, Bob. How about yours?
I'm going with cherry or grape. Myself, I love grape.
And in the summertime, that's what we need, some slushies. Although, like, as I mentioned there, by the way, 219-845-1100 is the number, 219-845-1100. Also got you pulled up on the YouTube, Bob, for folks on there. Just go to WJOB on the YouTube, and you'll see Bob After Dark Live. But, they were talking about this, Halloween shopping already. The stores,
yes.
And we talk about this, like, every year at the 4th of July, then the stores put out their Halloween stuff.
I will tell you that the second the 4th of July was over, I was already hearing people, specifically Queen of the Night, being like, excitement for Halloween shopping. And it seems like none of these stores are sponsoring Bob After Dark, but I'll just say you can go look at your local At Home if you have one of those. Their Halloween's out already. Cracker Barrel's Halloween is out already. Cracker Barrel's Halloween's been out.
They got probably Christmas up going on.
Then probably by the end of the month, their Halloween will be gone and their Christmas will be out.
Don't they live together for a while on the shelves? I mean,
I suppose, yes.
Yeah, Halloween and Christmas kind of live for a while. Rome type it in too on YouTube. Cracker Barrel has the coolest stuff. Not cheap, though. That is true. They do got some nice stuff, but it is not cheap.
No.
But yeah, they got their Halloween stuff in action. But, you know, after 4th of July, right, we got about almost 4 months between the
I'm
two.
I'm impressed you were able to count that quick.
I was. So there's really no big major, holiday. There might be some few, you know, minor. I mean, you got Labor Day, of course, and some Monday holidays probably in there. But there's nothing between 4th of July and Halloween that people may put up decorations for with that. So, but here's the thing now. After Halloween, you got less than 2 months. That's why everybody goes crazy with the Christmas stuff before Halloween, and why the Halloween people get mad, because the Christmas stuff people are jumping the gun on the Halloween. But when you think about it, after 4th of July, we have like about 4 months of prep, whereas the Christmas people only get less than 2 months of prep right after Halloween ends. So can you forgive the Christmas people for maybe going into September there and trying to get something going?
I don't want to hear your blasphemy. Christmas starts.
You got to wait.
Christmas starts Black Friday. Halloween starts.
Because you want to celebrate things.
And for me, and listen, I'm a paranormal guy. I run a paranormal radio show for a living. And so I live Halloween all year round. There's certain Halloween decor that sits up all year round in the, you know, the house.
Why not
all the Halloween decor, but some do sit up all around. Summerween officially starts July 5th,
that's
according
the
to
Summerween.
Summerween starts July 5th.
It's like it's hot and spooky at the same time.
Yes.
Yes.
But for me, Halloween is Summerween. I see it. I understand the appeal. But for me, Halloween is that crisp September-ish. I'll start getting into the mood.
So you're not in the mood yet.
I shouldn't say that because I'm excited when I get to go see At Home. And, like, you know, I do get excited about seeing the newer Halloween decor stuff that
you're
comes
out.
You're
buying candy already?
I'm not buying candy, but I did spot my one purchase I want for the year. It's a light-up Grim Reaper. Window hang, and it's purple. It looks really sweet.
Where is
that's at Target.
Target.
I think it's at Target. Queen of the Night sent that to me earlier. I think it was at Target.
All right. Well, I mean, it's whatever you want to do. Again, I think a lot of people they're not focused on it right now. They're trying to get through the summer. It's hot outside. They're in their pools. If you got an inflatable pool or maybe a real pool.
Yes.
I have an in-ground inflatable myself there.
You have an in-ground inflatable pool? How does that work? You dig a hole and then fill it up?
Yeah, you know what? You blow. There's a little tube that comes out. You got to blow it up under above the ground, and then it blows up.
I've been working with you for 8 years, and you have never once told me this, and you never once invited me over for a swim.
Are you calling me a liar?
No, I'm not calling you a liar. I'm saying
you might
never
be right about it this time.
Because you've never called me. You've never been like, hey, Bob, you want to come over for a swim and cool off?
I'll be honest, Bob. I don't think there's a such thing as an inflatable in-ground pool, but that'd be cool, and I'll try to
make it. So you don't have a pool?
No.
So you lied to me?
I just fibbed a little bit. Not really lying. That'd be cool, right?
Folks, I need to point out, if this is your actual first time, and I'm not repeating
this is not
myself,
what it's all about.
This is not what the show is. It's just Count and I haven't seen each other in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So this is us just playing catch up on air.
How was your 4th of July, Bob?
I was at a con.
I know it was maybe a week
I was at, you know, I was at a con, and then, so how was your 4th?
You know what? There was, fireworks, there was hot dogs. We celebrated.
Did you Pierogi it up for the 4th of July parade?
I saw Mr. Pierogi.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me repeat that. Did you see Mr. Pierogi during the 4th of July celebration?
I did see him at the 4th of July parade. He, you know, it was a little, you know, it's a morning parade. It's always a nice time. It's a little hot out there in the morning as well. But you know what? People were out there. They were celebrating 250 years. Bob, can you believe it?
Were you around during the 200?
I was. I'm a vampire, Bob.
Well, you could have been turned in the 80s or something.
80s?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm centuries old.
Well, I don't know how old you are.
Well, before 250 years. But it seems like time really does fly, doesn't it? 250 years ago, what were we doing? We weren't around.
Not in air conditioning, that's for sure.
Yeah. Think about back then, 250 years ago.
Oh, yeah, but there was no radio 250
years. There
was
no radio and there was no air conditioning. So what did you do with your time?
What's that?
What did you do with your time? You had You farmed, probably, right?
You farmed, and yes. Okay, you ready to move on with
the
show?
You had no YouTube.
No. The people watching are like, can you get to the point already,
guys? What's the point of the show?
What's the point of the show? So we split the show up into two parts because we don't have a guest this week. First part of the show is the weird, spooky news of the week. That's where you, the fans, and me, the Bob, go scouring the internet for the weird and unusual news, whether it's weird advances in science that borderline on science fiction, cryptid or ghost sightings making in the major media, alien sightings, or just very bizarre stories, right?
Yeah.
Count Panic is not prepared for any of them.
Never.
And we get the hashtag Panic's take, which is when Count tells us how he feels about the story that we talk about.
I'll tell you. Yeah.
And speaking of stories, we have a very cool guest coming on the show in the very near future.
Should I fire up the Zoom?
No, we're not. In the near future.
Okay.
I am in talks with Tim Banal himself to come on Bob After Dark. Yeah, that's so cool. I'm really excited. I do have a Tim Banal article this week that we're going to kick off with because of it. I've been corresponding with Tim over Facebook, and if you're listening to this, Tim, I just want to say you're so cool.
Tim Banal of, radio fame.
Coast to Coast AM fame.
Radio royalty.
Yes, and paranormal royalty in reality.
Yeah.
He is the news guy for the biggest paranormal news network in the world. So
coast to coast. I mean, that's literally from coast to coast.
Exactly. So just as soon as he's able to come on, we're going to have that episode, and we can finally prove that he's not going to beat me up for me using his articles.
Maybe he'll send you a bill after that. Maybe he just wants to come on to sort things out. You know?
He comes on and been like, yeah, Bob, I've been aware for several years that you've been using my my articles, and you've been riding my coattails. Here's a $10,000 bill.
I mean, it would add up.
Tim seems like Tim doesn't strike me as the type that does that, but I'm big fan of his here around the Bob After Dark parts. But anyway, weird spooky news of the week, and then we dive into the meat and potatoes of the episode, the lore of the week.
Mm-hmm,
This lore of the week is an interesting one. I think it might be a family member of yours.
Okay, yes, I've heard about
this. So you ready to dive into the news of the week, spooky news of the week?
Let's dive in. I got my inflatable floaty on.
What kind of floaty would you have in a comically style where, for me, it'd be a flamingo.
Like a bat, probably, right?
An inflatable bat. That'd be cool.
I'm a vampire. So I have an inflatable
bat.
Now
you're talking. All right.
They got to have those for Summerween.
I'm sure there's Summerween inflatable floaties, and I'm sure there are people that are going to go start looking that up right now.
See, at least Target, again, one more thing about this.
Yeah, that's fine.
At least this is smart for retailers to do right now because they know people after, the hardcore Halloween people after 4th of July, they want to start jumping in, but it's still too hot. It's summertime. Cross them over with things you can enjoy in the summer, but they're spooky, like the inflatable bat floaty.
I like that. And you know what mine would be? Inflatable Mothman.
We're giving away ideas now.
If we were in the inflatable market, me and you could be making millions. All right, you ready to dive in?
Yeah, sure.
All right, so the U.S. government approves satellite that turns night into day.
Okay,
All right, this article is from, actually not Tim Banal. This is from Alec Fernandez at Coast to Coast AM. So sorry, Tim, I thought you were the only writer there, my apologies. So now we have a whole new enemy.
Yeah. Well, now they'll send you a bill.
Alec Fernandez, thank you for writing this article. A California startup has received FCC approval for a mirrored satellite that will reflect the sun's rays onto Earth's dark side, providing light on demand across an area roughly 3 miles wide. The company, Reflect Orbital, paints a picture of a futuristic utopia, promising enhanced safety for search and rescue operations, extended hours for agricultural and solar panel productivity, and a world where shadows of the night are banished with the flip of a switch. However, the project has sparked a firestorm of controversy, drawing the scrutiny of both regulators and the scientific community. These critics warn that the intense concentrated beams could pose serious hazards to drivers, potentially causing flash blindness and wreak havoc on sensitive astronomical observations. The reaction online has been equally sharp, with one Reddit user sarcastically quipping, "Yay, more wildfires." For now, the FCC's decision covers only a single demonstration satellite, not the company's long-term vision for 50,000 similar devices. Nevertheless, the debate illuminates a bigger question. If we can engineer artificial daylight, should we? Hashtag panic stake.
Artificial daylight, Bob. I mean, when do we Why is my question. Like, is there a reasoning, Bob? Like, do we need it at all? Like, I don't know. Where would that come in handy? I guess if you're trying to find something in the dark and it's nighttime, you would just say, hey, can we switch today? But I don't see the point of it, Bob. I'll be honest with you.
It sounds dangerous. You know, there is a day and night cycle for a reason.
Well, it's like the whole daylight savings time. We can't even figure that out. Now we're going to switch something around?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. For me, it doesn't seem like something we should be doing. Is everything okay over there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just making sure.
Okay. You looked at me like there was a problem for a moment.
No, it's just me making sure the systems are fired.
All right. Are you ready for this article title? Because it's the strangest title we've talked about in a while.
Yeah, for sure. Also, Crystal chiming in.
Crystal.
Fan of the show, guest of the show. Crystal. No fake lights. Hashtag no fake lights.
Hashtag no fake lights.
And Rome's going to run out the Cracker Barrel tomorrow.
Okay, good job.
There you go.
Pancakes, man. Get them blueberry pancakes. All right, so Russian warlocks and clairvoyant exploit historical fuel shortage with bogus rituals. So-called warlocks and clairvoyants in Russia are taking advantage of desperate motorists by claiming to cut cars' consumption for a fee. Russia is currently facing an unprecedented fuel crisis that sees drivers in some parts of the country spending hours at gas stations waiting to refuel at sky-high prices. With Ukraine hitting oil refineries deep into Russia, the situation is unlikely to change anytime soon, so snake oil peddlers are scrambling to take advantage of the people's desperation. Russian news media has recently reported that an increasing number of self-proclaimed magicians, clairvoyants, and witches are taking the social media to promote all kinds of questionable services, like lowering a vehicle's consumption to changing standard fuel into premium through occult rituals. Clairvoyants claim that the increased fuel consumption may not be due to a car malfunction, but to a supposed hex, negative energy, or foreign objects that someone may have left in the car. Instead of checking the engine and visiting a car repair shop, customers are encouraged to perform rituals to lower their car's fuel consumption, rituals that only these masters of the occult can prepare. Obviously, one is expected to pay a fee of these for this kind of service. Colin, I'm not going to, before I tell you how much the article says, just out of curiosity, what would you pay, what do you think they're charging for the service?
For the service of, the actual service of
de-hexing your car.
Well, geez. Well, a mechanic will cost you these days, depending on what it is. Depending on what it is. But the hex it all, I want to say starting, Bob.
Yeah.
$500.
$210.
Okay. So I was a little bit lower.
You're a little higher.
Yeah.
You went higher on that one.
$210.
So this is $210 or 16,000 ruples.
Well, that's a deal.
Are you going to take your car into a warlock?
I mean, they'll fix it, right? You'll spend more on
a mechanic?
Yeah.
Why the heck not?
So they can fix it for $210. That's great.
All right. So in one instance, a witch reportedly told a client that a curse had been cast on their car's fuel tank, causing it to burn through fuel faster than usual. They also offered to spiritually lift the curse for a modest price of 16,000 ruples, which is $210 American, or roughly. Some esoteric practitioners also claim to be able to alter fuel characteristics. For example, turning AI 92 gasoline, which I'm going to pretend like I know what that is, into the more expensive AI 100, or AL, I think it's AI. However, experts warn that the octane number of fuel depends on its chemical composition and cannot be changed by incantations, rituals, or application of symbols to a car. Just last week, we reported on an increasingly popular fuel pills that allegedly lower fuel consumption. Their efficiency has also been called into question, even though they are being sold at gas stations across Russia. Hashtag panic steak.
Yeah, well, again, Bob, $210 to fix your vehicle no matter what?
$210. Well, this is to fix your mileage, your gas problem.
Okay.
So
that's still fair.
So it's the first group of folk are saying that your car is getting bad gas mileage because it's cursed.
Okay.
So they're charging you $210 to replace that curse. The second group of people, which I'm going to refer to as alchemists, because that would be the correct terminology, I think, for somebody that changes properties of things. So this alchemist, these alchemists are supposedly changing standard fuel into premium fuel, which is a quick way for you to get off by the gasoline companies.
I get that. But what about your check engine light comes on. Can they fix that?
It didn't say in the article, but I'll tell you what, Con, if you feel like getting in touch with one of these Russian witches to get your car checked out, let me know how it turns out.
And then, I might try it out, but I want it for everything. I want them to fix everything by just, performing spells over the vehicle. So, for $210, how about the car? Do they throw in a car wash with that, Bob? Can they wash the car?
It didn't say, but for $210,
throw in a car wash.
I feel like they should wash your car too.
Dehex it and throw in the car wash.
A cleansing wash, a cleansing bath.
Under
that's a normal thing that happens.
Yeah.
All right, you ready to move on to our last news story? Now this is the one I got really. Oh jeez, I just knacked into my microphone. I remember my first broadcast. All right. Anyway, this one is a strange one. It comes from Far Out Magazine, written by Scott Campbell. The last one came, by the way, I forgot to say, that came from Oddity Central, written by their admin, Spooky. So that came from Oddity Central. This one's from Far Out Magazine. And here, I got one for you, Count. This is an interesting article title. The one mythological creature most likely to be real, according to Nicolas Cage. I feel bad for that cryptid. So, for centuries, debate has raged whether or not history's most famous mythological creatures exist. If you wanted to know what Nicolas Cage had to say on the matter, you're in luck. Not to judge, but he looks like the sort of fellow who'd believe in unicorns, werewolves, and any other. And by the way, this is me reading from the article, folks. This is from Far Out, not me. But anyway, not to judge, but he looks like the sort of fellow who would believe in unicorns, werewolves, and any other kind of mythical beast that have entered humanity's folklore. After all, he's a weird guy and once did embark on a quest to find the Holy Grail, so he's got previous and such far-fetched arenas. The godfather of Nouveau Oshamic acting also has a pet crow named Hugin, which I did not know.
I did not know that.
Named after one of the two ravens who traverse the mortal plane that relay information to Odin. So you can't say he doesn't know at least have some kind of interest in folklore, all the occult stuff like that. With that in mind, he starred in the 2019 straight-to-video action thriller Primal as a big-game hunter who specializes in rare species and finds himself going toe-to-toe with a white jaguar made out of entirely questionable CGI. The Academy Award winner also found time to share his thoughts on which of the planet's most notorious cryptids stand the strongest chance of existing. Unfortunately, Kyle, this one's for your mom.
Yeah.
That bad news is for Bigfoot.
Oh!
Yes. So, Nicolas Cage says, and I quote, "As much as I love the idea, I'm in the mind that he doesn't exist." Cage noted.
This is Nick Cage talking.
This is Nick Cage talking. Yes. Nick Cage says, I think that if Bigfoot did exist, we'd probably have more proof by now. And that's fair enough. But what about Yetis, which are basically the cousins of Bigfoot from the other side of the world? It's usually a bear, the star pointed out before heading off on a tangent. I love the idea of marvelous creatures and to that effect that the gorilla that was originally thought to be part of the myth and turned out to be fact. The Colcanath... Good job, Nicolas Cage, for knowing this offhand. The Colcanath was a prehistoric fish, which is still alive. Not quite a cryptid, though, unlike the one time that prey of ACDC's Brian Johnson, the Loch Ness Monster. Once again, Cage shot it down. So Nicolas Cage shot down not only Bigfoot, but the Loch Ness Monster. Cage shot it down and just said, giant eel. And he suggested, if it was a plesiosaur, it would be trying to get air more often. Then again, he did add, I don't think these people are making these things up. So he's obviously not completely against the idea of Nessie having spent millions of years lurking under a body of water in rural Scotland without ever properly being discovered. Hashtag panic stake.
Well, first off in the chat here, Stan Stefanski from Big Frank's
Coffee.
Who's ready for a Polish?
Ready for a Polish?
Stan Stefanski's in there as well, the chat. Of course, he's ready for Pierogi Fest. Who's ready for Pierogi Fest? I said, always ready. And, of course, you could find Big Frank's Sausage and all your fantastic vendors at Pierogi Fest, home of Bob Anderson, Whiting, Indiana.
I will not be there.
You will not be there.
Thanks for doxing me in front of the entire...
July 24th, 25th, 26th.
I will be at Gen Con.
You will be.
So I have three speaking engagements that we'll talk about.
You'll be there in spirit, though.
I'll be there in spirit. I will not be at Pierogi Fest. I'll be at Gen Con.
And, Stan, can't for the parade. I'm going to talk to Stan. He says, can't for the parade. You know, he's Kibasa King, so he you would think he would have to be in the parade, but maybe he's busy that night. But I'll talk to Stan. I'll have to talk to Stan about that great Kibasa King we have. Also, Rome in the chat, did you guys think that Long Legs was creepy? Now, I don't think I've seen Long Legs. Have you?
This yes, I have. I like
Nicolas
Long Legs.
Cage was in this. He said, would you agree that Long Legs had a Silence of the Lamb vibes? I can't speak to it because I never seen Long Legs. Did you? Did you see the Long
Legs? Yes, I did. I saw Long Legs in theaters, and I didn't know that was Nicolas Cage until after the movie. Because it doesn't look like it looks like him after you find out the character he plays.
Yeah.
And the way he acts in the movie is very eccentric and very odd and scary. He's a legitimately terrifying character.
Yeah.
But no, I would recommend checking out Long Legs. It was a good horror movie. I liked it.
And Stan saying he will be at the parade. Okay, he will be at the parade. And beer and shots at his booth. So check out the Big Frank.
Of course.
I don't know if that's for everybody, though.
No, I think he was inviting you.
It might just mean me. But I'll have to see him after the fact. You got to be I know Mr. Pierogi personally. He's got to be a little bit good during the festival because that's a long day, Bob. You can't be all willy-nilly out there. You got to be careful. So maybe after the fest concludes, I'll take a visit to Big Frank's there. But back to the Nick Cage thing here, Bob. Yeah. I'm surprised to hear this, the Bigfoot slander. Just because Nick Cage, he seems to be into the... A believer of lots of things, right? He seems like he dabbles in quite a lot, and he has dinosaur bones, I believe, and believes in, I believe, a ton of things. But he's not selling the Bigfoot. You know what? I say, Nicolas Cage, you're wrong.
Oh, are you going to call Nicolas Cage out for a debate?
Let's get him on the show.
Can you get Nicolas Cage on the show?
Would you want me to get Nicolas Cage on the
show? If you could get Nicolas Cage on the show, I'd be thrilled.
We'll get Nicolas Cage before we get Dan Aykroyd.
If I got Nicolas Cage before Dan Aykroyd, I would walk right out those. Nothing against Nicolas Cage by any means. I'd be thrilled, but Dan Aykroyd's our white whale.
But I think to debate, he'll like a debate about Bigfoot, maybe. Maybe not so much, a typical interview like you say would do, but. Maybe could invite for a Bigfoot debate or something like that. Someone tag Nicolas Cage, Crystal. Can you tag him on YouTube? I don't know.
Does Nicolas Cage
have
a personal
YouTube account?
What do you think he would post?
He's probably on the Twitter, right?
I'm sure he's on the... I think it's X.
X.
Yes, I'm sure he's on there. He's on
something. Facebook? I'm on Facebook.
What?
I'm on Facebook.
I don't think Nicolas Cage is on Facebook. I'm sure his public appearance page is on there or something with him.
We'll find him. Next week.
Next week on Bob After Dark, we'll have Nicolas Cage.
We can't promise that, but we'll try.
All right. So, Count, you ready to take a quick break?
Sure.
All right. For our live fans, stick around. We'll be right back. And for our podcast fans, you're about to be hearing words from a podcast that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Ghostly.
Pat, what are you doing?
What? I want people to know that we're a podcast that takes a deep dive into some of the scariest ghost stories.
But we don't do the creepy voices or weird sound effects. We debate the ghost stories. And aren't you supposed to be the skeptic?
I am, but they'll find that out once they listen.
Look, all you have to do is tell them to listen to Ghostly, and that our listeners get to decide which stories are real.
And which stories are just old folklore.
Exactly.
Download Ghostly wherever you find great podcasts.
Oh, jeez.
And we're back.
Yeah.
Hey, Count.
How's it going, Bob?
Sweating.
Well, Bob, we suffer for our craft.
We suffer for the craft, man.
Your hair is staying...
I'm impressed that the frizz level hasn't reached like 300% yet.
You were called out for that a few weeks back.
I was called out for the... What's up?
You were called off for that.
Yes, we have a call.
We do have a call. Do you want to ask me what I did during my break?
No, we'll take the caller first.
Okay, first. Let me put the phone line up here. Hold on. I'm going to try to make this work. Hopefully this works and we'll have the caller on the air. But I pulled it up. Let's see what we got. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, welcome back, Bob.
Hey, John, how are you?
Hey, I'm just getting out of a meeting, and I just put it on now, so I don't know what you guys were talking about, but I did hear the comment mentioned everybody's invited to Big Stan's, booth at Pierogi Fest, but only Mr. Pierogi's got access to the goodies behind it.
Well,
is that true?
Yeah, and I don't know for sure about that, but you
that's
know.
That's the point, how do you do? I mean, you know, you put on it, you're advertising, you got a bottle of Yezure or whatever, and then Mr. Pierogi says, or the count says he knows Mr. Pierogi, and he's the only one that's
well, I think you have connections to Stan and Jill at the booth there. They might give you some and they like you. But, you know.
I don't know, Bob. What do you think?
What do you think, Bob?
Oh, I'm ready for some pierogi right now, to be honest.
He's ready for pierogi right now. And I think that's more so, you know, usually after the fest concludes, we kind of hit that off.
Oh, hey, listen, I know this is not a pierogi fest show, but are you going to be there, Bob, or you don't
I
know
will
yet?
Not be. I'm speaking at a convention that weekend.
Pierogi convention?
Okay, no, well, I'll be at Gen Con in Indianapolis for 5 days.
Well, they have a pierogi vendor over there.
There will be a pierogi food truck.
Well, you could have your own pierogi fest over there.
If they have a Bob-friendly menu, I plan on having a pierogi
in
their honor.
You can do potato.
If they do potato, I don't know if
that's
they do.
Usually the most popular one, though.
The past couple times I was there and they had a pierogi food truck, they had, like, really bizarre out there flavors.
They gotta have a vegetarian option.
So if they have regular pierogi, I'm gonna go sit down and have one, and I'll think about you.
There you go.
I'm having it, John.
Yeah, that sounds good. So anyway, like I said, I'll let you guys get back. I don't know what you're quite talking about. I just put it on. I just wanted to say welcome back because I didn't hear you in a couple of weeks.
Well, this is a good question asked, John here. What do you think about the Halloween stuff going up on the stores already?
Oh, yeah. John, what's your take on Halloween going up in stores already?
I haven't heard nothing about that. Are you kidding? You're not kidding. Well, I should have said, are you kidding me? Because you wouldn't be.
No, it's up, right?
No, I haven't seen anything like that yet.
Target, you said, Bob?
Yeah, Target, Halloween, Cracker Barrel.
Target, Cracker Barrel, Walmart probably, right?
Yeah.
You know, when we always say see this, we always say it's earlier and earlier every year. So, how early can you get?
Ah, it is what it is. Summerween, John. Summerween.
Yeah, I'm not for that stuff, Bob. I really don't.
He enjoys the summer.
I'm for when the time comes. Not now, really. Time goes by too fast. I want to enjoy my summer, not jump into Halloween already.
There you have it.
There you have it.
You know what I mean, Bob?
Well, thanks for calling in. Well, John, I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
No, I said, you know what I mean?
You know what
I'm
he means.
Not into it yet.
Do I know any what?
Do you know what he means by that?
I understand what he means.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good.
All right. Hey, have a good show.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you calling in.
We'll drop that right there.
Would you like to be like John and call in and hear us talk to you?
Yeah, we could talk.
Would you like to talk to us?
Let me talk.
219-845-1100. Mm-hmm. That's 219-845-1100. Question of the night. Do you celebrate Summerween? 219-845-1100.
And why is Nicolas Cage wrong about that?
Nicolas Cage,
aren't you disgusted?
People are welcome to their beliefs, Colin.
Disgusted.
You're disgusted? This is where you draw the line. This is where Colin gets
I'm calling him out. Coward. Come on the show. Back your stuff up, right?
Almost just nosed my water. That was like, you called Nicolas Cage a coward.
Yeah.
How would he be a coward? He doesn't even probably know we exist. One. And two, he hasn't had a chance to, like, reply to us and be like, yeah, I'll come on and debate you.
Well, okay, say he does, Bob. I mean, you have to be the moderator for this then, because I'll take the pro Bigfoot stance, and he could take the anti-Bigfoot
message.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Bob. I'm thinking if we don't get Nicolas Cage, we get John Travolta because they were face off, right? We'll have John Travolta on. So next week, Nicolas Cage or John Travolta.
We have wheelie chairs in here, so if Tom Cruise comes in here and tries to jump up on some furniture, he's gonna fall.
Wait, now you want Tom Cruise?
Oh, who was that? You
John
said
Travolta was in Face
wrong,
Off.
Wrong actor. My apologies.
We could have Tom Cruise in here, too.
Why not? Come on, everybody.
So next week, we'll have a roundtable discussion, Nicolas Cage, John Travolta
and Tom Cruise.
We got calls, though, Bob.
All right, let's take some calls before we get back to the show.
Now, we have two numbers here. I'm going to take one at a time. So we got two callers. I'll take one at a time. This was the first one. We're going to be by the book here. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, it's me.
Hello.
Hello, do you know who you're talking to?
Is this Mom of the Night?
Yes.
Hey,
how about that? What the hell are you talking about Halloween for?
Yeah, Bob.
Do you know that? Where did I just spend this last weekend? The kickoff of Christmas at Hallmark, remember?
Oh, wait, she's in the Christmas already.
Yes, believe it or not, this last weekend was the kickoff for the Hallmark Christmas ornaments that come out in July.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I get that because that's a pre. You've got to get that ahead of time, right?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
the premiere. And then I was also out shopping at the Halloween at Cracker Barrel. So we celebrated both of them.
So you're
Christmas Ween.
You're going over Halloween. You're going right to Christmas.
Hey, I did both.
You're doing both.
Good job, Mom of the Night.
Well, you heard from John. He wants to take it slow. He wants to have summertime here. He doesn't want to get into Halloween and Christmas. But we got two viewpoints.
Well,
here.
You know what, though? If you do not get your ornaments in time, they are gone. I'm trying to get Kermit the Frog, and he is gone already.
Already? They all bought Kermit before?
This
they
show is just
Kermit
going off the rails today.
So is Snoopy with the red, white, and blue spirit of 250 for this year, and Snoopy is all gone as well. So I'm so sorry out there to ruin everybody's burster bubble. But
now I want to point out Mom After Dark. Want to point out Mom After Dark. I wanted to appreciate the ornament update. We weren't expecting that on the call on
we
the show
a
today.
Weekly
but,
ornament update.
But we had an ornament update. So Nick Cage ornaments. Come on, everybody.
They might show up
next.
Back.
Talking about the Easter Bunny.
They'll probably be on eBay. People are going to be pricing those higher on eBay. Probably.
I'm sure, but don't quote Mom and Mom After Dark on that one. I'll
we're
going to
find out here.
Thanks for calling in, Mom.
We're going to celebrate Christmas Ween.
Okay.
Christmas Ween.
Christmas Ween.
Oh, okay.
Summer Christmas.
Love you guys.
Love you too, Mom.
Love
Talk
you.
To you later.
Talk to you.
All right. Next call.
Well, hold on. You're going too fast. I got to drop this call
drop
first.
Drop the call first.
And then I drop that call. That call is dropped. And now I'm taking this call, which was the next caller in line. And let's see if we got a caller on the air.
Well, good evening, gentlemen. Oh. It's good to talk to you guys.
Hey, Bill, how's it going?
It's been a while.
Yeah, it has
been
a while.
Yes, this is Bill. I'm alive and well so far.
That's good.
That's good, Bill.
Yeah, well, that's always good to be.
That's good. So, and as far as the Halloween, I think it's to me, it's too early.
Too early, huh? No summer ween for you, Bill?
Yeah, you got to enjoy it.
Well, no. Well, I'm not into it that much. I used to decorate. I don't that much anymore. But I go into these stores now, and I see that, you know, that Halloween, some of the stuff, and I don't know, you know. But it's too early for me.
So we got two now, John and Bill, saying way too early. You got to savor the summertime.
Mom After Dark was about
she's
it,
she's celebrating Christmas.
She's just getting her ornaments
Christmas
together.
In July.
And then I can tell you the Queen of the Night is very much telling us that Summer Ween is important on the – I'm getting messages on the back end.
Very
so.
Important.
So far we're at 2-2 on Summer Ween.
All right. I had a question for you guys.
Hit me, Bill.
Sure.
On the Bigfoot, and, you know, I'm into that too and whatever, but – have they ever found any evidence, you know, bones or a body or some type of thing, you know, wherever they're at?
So there's been footprints that have been found encased. There's actually an interesting story, and I'm going to cover this eventually on the show, but there's a podiatrist here in Northwest Indiana who actually worked on one of the Bigfoot prints, and he happened to be my podiatrist at the time, and we were talking about how he was able to depict how the bipedal creature would be able to move based on how his foot imprint was, which was fascinating. I got to give him a lot of credit for that. So there's been footprints found. There's been bones that have been strange, but people have been able to kind of figure it out. In India, They believe that the Indian government says that they have a, or the Indian military supposedly has a Yeti skull, which is the Appalachian country, saying they had it. So, I mean, it's possible. It's Bigfoot's cousin. So, who knows? It's a good question, Bill.
I wondered because, you know, as far as, because I was watching some program a few years ago and so forth, and they were talking about that, and if anything were to happen to one, they usually would carry the body away.
Now,
have you heard anything on that?
Have you heard that, Bob?
I have not, no.
Oh, okay, because I wondered, I mean, you know, but I'm not saying there isn't any, but who knows, you know.
We're going to have to dig on this, But, you know, this Nick Cage guy, Bill, he comes in, he thinks he's a famous actor, which he is.
Yeah,
but, you know,
I know
he's saying
him.
Bigfoot's
yeah.
not real.
I don't know if that's just him blowing some wind
yeah,
or what.
I think he's trying to stay relevant, Bob.
I'm sure he's into that. Well, listen, I'll let you guys go. You guys are the best.
Thank you, Bill. I'm glad to hear you guys.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you guys again. I'll give you a buzz next week.
Sounds
Which
good,
we
Bill.
Will be
thank
here,
you.
Right?
You have a good one.
Yeah, thank you, Bill.
You too. Take care. Bye.
There we go.
Bye.
Bill's celebrating the summer. Not the summer ween, but the summer. But next week's show should be a humdinger, Bob. We got
Nick Cage coming in.
Calling him. We're going to tag him.
Can't get Dan Aykroyd, but Nick Cage? Easy.
Crystal will have to help us tag.
Yeah.
We'll try to figure out how to tag Nick Cage here.
All right, so are you ready, Count, to dive into the lore? Oh, you didn't know. Tell me what you did during break.
Bob, during the break, I got my ornaments for Christmas 2037.
Oh, nice. Time traveled?
They do have Kermit in 2037. They do have Snoopy in 2037.
That's good.
I'll let your mama tonight know that Mom After Dark know.
Mom After Dark. That's what she likes to be called, is Mom After Dark.
Mom of the Night.
No, she actually likes to be called Mom After Dark.
Mom After Dark.
Yeah.
Well, let her know that in 2037, there's Christmas ornaments available.
I'll let her know.
What'd you do?
You know, I'm celebrating Summerween, and I carved a pineapple.
Oh.
A pineapple lantern.
I think a watermelon would be easier to carve.
Dude, you know how thick and heavy that...
Pineapple seems like it's too rigid or something like that.
I'm trying to think. A pumpkin's mostly hollow, right? Trying to carve a watermelon would be ridiculous. Now, I've seen people carve, like, watermelon baskets and stuff over the years. I think my mom did that for parties back in the day, but I digress. Carving a watermelon or carving a pineapple.
Maybe we do it next week. Try it out both.
Try out both. Why not?
Tell us your results.
All right.
Don't hurt yourself, though.
Okay, you ready to dive into the lore of the week?
Yeah.
All right, so I have one for you, and this one I think might be a distant cousin of yours.
Okay.
I am going to talk to you a little bit about the strange tale of the Highgate Vampire.
The Highgate Vampire.
All right, so I'm going to read this article. This comes from Far Out Magazine, written by Sam Kemp. In March 1969, the British Psychic and Occult Society began receiving reports of a tall black apparition stalking the tombs of London's Highgate Cemetery. Most of the accounts turned out to be regurgitations of local gossip, but it wasn't long before investigators traced a man claiming to have had a firsthand experience with what came to be known as the Highgate Vampire. The witness recalled having been hypnotized by something lurking in the shadows. He began to make his way to the exit, but soon found himself lost and disorientated. As he stumbled around in the night, he began to feel the presence of something behind him. Spinning around, he saw a tall black figure which abruptly vanished. Not long after, two teenage girls who had been walking home along Swain Lane claimed to have witnessed the spirits of the dead rising from their graves. An elderly woman claimed that she had been frightened by a tall, dark man with glaring eyes while walking her dog inside the cemetery gates. And then the foxes started dying. All of this was promptly picked by local newspapers such as the Hampstead and Highgate Express, which in February 1970 ran an article with the headline, "Why Do the Foxes Die?" in which they suggest the local sightings were proof of a vampire and evidence of occult activity in Highgate Cemetery. The suggestion, of course, that the foxes, which have been found with deep lacerations to the throat, have been killed by a vampire. Although David Ferret, British Occult Society investigator and eventual vampire hunter, dismissed such claims, he did not rule out the possibility that the animals had been trapped and used as sacrifices in black magic rituals, however. After embarking on an extensive investigation of local sightings, during which he and his colleagues supposedly spotted the apparition, Ferrant wrote that to the Hampstead and Highgate Express, claiming that he had evidence of the vampire and of satanic activity in the cemetery. Shortly after, his team was invited to give a personal account of the investigation for an independent television program. The society denied this request as it was forebode any release of information about ongoing investigations. Ferrant, on the other hand, was happy to recount his own personal encounter with the vampire. In his book, Beyond the Highgate Vampire, Ferrant claims that he was careful to avoid using sensationalism terms like vampire during the interview. However, another interviewee, a somewhat theatrical character who had been pestering local newspapers for publicity since he had first become aware of the investigation, claimed that the phenomenon was in fact King Vampire. And after providing a crucifix and a homemade wooden stake, announced that to exorcise a vampire, one must first drive a stake through its heart with one blow, chop off its head with a gravedigger shovel, and burn its remains. Wow. This was Sam Manchester, a self-proclaimed exorcist, vampire hunter, and bishop of the Old Catholic Church.
Did a lot.
Unlike Ferrant, he was convinced that the phenomena was indeed a vampire Bram Stoker tradition and vowed to dispatch the creature once and for all. Manchester went on to claim that Ferrant, who had previously told an overzealous reporter that he was prepared to take any means necessary to rid Highgate of that creature, and would be joining him on this dangerous mission. If Manchester's comments were designed to create maximum publicity, then he certainly succeeded. The night following the TV broadcast, hundreds of people armed with wooden stakes and shovels converged on the Highgate Cemetery to take part in a vampire hunt. After breaching the police cordon and the police barricade and storming the cemetery, several vampire hunters scrambled back to safety, having spotted something crawling in the dark. Vampire. So these people went and charged the cemetery, broke across the police barricade, got in there, and then hightailed it
because they saw something. But what was it?
So you went. We'll get to it. Okay. But so I'm just saying, so you went you went into the cemetery thinking you were going to go hunt a vampire. Mm-hmm. And then you ran at the first.
If you were prepared, right, you would take it on.
I'm going to keep exploring it. Listen, Colin, if I'm taking the risk of going to jail over breaking and entering a cemetery, if there's police blockade and I'm still charging in there with a gravedigger shovel, which, by the way, it's an old tradition of vampire killing. I haven't heard that in eons.
It's usually a wooden stake, right?
Just the stake through the heart, yeah. You know, silver bullet, yeah. garlic, you know.
Garlic really doesn't just keep them away, right?
Keeps them. It's a deterrent.
But you don't.
Kill it. Does garlic deter you away?
I like it on certain foods, but you know that's about it.
You're a bad vampire.
I can take the garlic.
In an interview with the London Evening News, Mr. Anthony Robinson recalled, "I walked past the place and heard a high-pitched noise. And then I saw something gray moving slowly across the road. It terrified me. I've never believed in anything like this, and now I'm sure there's something evil lurking in Highgate." Ferrant, on the other hand, remained unconvinced, blaming the sightings on mass hysteria generated by the press. Indeed, over the next few months, there were no significant developments and sightings seemed to drop off. What followed, however, more than made up of this period of inactivity. In the August of 1970, two schoolgirls stumbled across a 100-year-old corpse of a woman who had been dragged from her coffin, decapitated, staked through the heart, and left in the middle of a pathway. Look, if you're going to go vampire hunting, can you at least clean up your mess?
Yeah, you would think so.
You'd think you'd clean up the mess. Ah, no, I just staked this corpse.
Litter bug.
I'm just going to leave it here. Chances are you probably dug up this corpse unless you found it wandering around, but you're not going to clean it up. You're going to leave the gravedigger to clean it up. Messy. That's mean.
Yeah. Jerk.
If I slayed a vampire, I would definitely clean up after
take care
myself.
Of it. Yeah.
Then again, I guess vampires, when they bite the dust, it depends on the lore. Some say they burst into the flames. Some say they turn into dust. Some say they just kind of die.
Look at you, fire extinguisher. they burst into flames.
I'll carry a fire extinguisher in my vampire hunting kit now, Count. The gruesome discovery sparked a police investigation and a resurgence in vampire sightings, with one woman claiming that she had been thrown to the ground by a tall, pallid figure cloaked in black. Ferrant was troubled by this development. Past sightings had only led to frightening encounters. This was a sort of aggression. The incident seemed to prove that the creature posed a real threat, so society agreed to conduct a psychic seance in Highgate Cemetery. If successful, a rite of exorcism could be performed then to be performed to banish the entity from the earthly plane, Ferrant later reported. On August 17, 1970, Ferrant and other society members entered the cemetery and walked to the site of the initial sighting. They drew a large circle upon the ground, which they sealed in with protective symbols, salt, and holy water. A second circle adorned with burning candles and incense was laid on the ground where the demon was expected to appear. No sooner had the seance commenced than human voices were heard in the distance. It was the police.
Well, okay.
The occult paraphernalia was quickly bundled together, and Ferrant made a dash for the nearest exit. Unfortunately, he was spotted and arrested. Though belief in the Highgate vampire waxed and waned over the years, the animosity between Ferrant and Manchester reached a fever pitch until the former's death in 2019. In 1973, just a year before Ferrant was jailed for grave desecration, the pair decided to settle the score with a magical duel on Parliament Hill, Hampstead. The melee was eventually called off, however, and the pair set about putting their efforts into writing, contemplation, and odd political project. In 1978, for example, Ferrant ran in Hornsey as the sole candidate for his Wicca Workers' Party, which advocated nudity, free sex, the restoration of the Wiccan creed, the establishment of state brothels, outlawing communism, and leaving the EU common market.
Wow.
That's quite the thing. So you go from magical duel, which we'll get, there's a lot more going on with those two, which we'll talk about in a future episode, but yes,
sounds like
they were legitimately setting up to go have a magical duel and it got called off.
Sounds like Pierogi Fest, what you just described right there.
What?
Maybe, well, not all the stuff on that list, but you know what I mean.
So there was a couple other things going at around England at the time that really led to this this kind of thing. There's the Tottenham Park Cemetery desecration, according to a report in the London Evening News of November 2nd, 1968. On the night of Halloween 1968, a graveyard desecration by persons unknown occurred at Tottenham Park Cemetery in London. These persons arranged flowers taken from graves in circular patterns with arrows of blooms pointing to a new grave, which was uncovered. A coffin was opened and the body inside was disturbed, but their most macabre act was driving an iron stake in from across and through the lid into the breast of the corpse. Though the identities and motivations of the responsible have never been ascertained, general consensus at the time linked to the desecration of events surrounding the Highgate vampire case. So it wasn't just at Highgate. Even in Tottenham Park Cemetery, somebody dug up a coffin and drove a stake through it to stake the corpse of the woman inside.
Okay, just because
they thought she was a vampire, I guess.
They're just assuming everybody was vampires here.
Rising from the graves, man.
Well, I know, but I mean, you think they'd be a little more well thought out. It seems like they're just on a mission for whatever they can find, Bob.
Yeah. This is such an interesting story about mass hysteria. You know, we look at cases like, I hate to bring this one up, but it makes total sense, like the Mobile, Alabama leprechaun story.
It's more modern time.
It's the modern Highgate vampire, except I don't think people were showing up with wooden stakes.
They weren't trying to kill the leprechaun.
Did spark a giant publicity thing when it happened, and I mean,
but did they ever figure that out?
No.
Could have been multiple things, as the video tells us. But it was a sign of the times, Bob, right? I mean, they thought this was real. They thought this was actually happening. Vampires were out there looking for them. So this was something they put in the top of the priority list and tried to figure out as far as how do we stop them.
So, I mean, I don't think we have a vampire epidemic going on right now.
Currently,
I don't think we have a vampire problem.
No, but it could happen.
It could happen, and if that's the case, then we have to be ready for it.
Will you be ready for it?
I'm ready for a vampire uprising any day now. Well prepared. Plus, you'll keep me as a human pet, in case like the humans lose.
Well, you know, they can't come out during the daytime.
Yeah, I know. So you would keep me alive, though.
I would.
Right?
Yeah,
you would be like, oh no, I like Bob. We'll keep him. We'll keep him around for entertainment.
Turn you into a vampire so you could live forever.
I don't want to be a vampire. That'd be lame.
What?
It's not lame. It's just, who wants to live forever, man?
I'm
35 and I already got aches and pains. Can you imagine being 2035?
Well, I think that's the point, though. Of a vampire, you shouldn't have. Although I hear they get pains in their neck a lot. They give other pains in the neck. But, you know, if you're a vampire, you're centuries old, you're not supposed to really feel it, right? You're supposed to be eternal. So you should feel better.
So there is a little bit of publicity behind the Highgate vampire case in popular culture. Mm-hmm. There is a 1972 Hammer horror film called Dracula AD 1972, starring Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing.
Oh, yes.
That was directly inspired by the Highgate vampire case. The Highgate vampire appears as a villain in the Dark Horse comic series Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 9. The Highgate vampire reveals not to be a vampire, but an insectoid demon that feeds off of its victim's emotional trauma. We have some different things here in popular culture. It was an interesting thing. And.
Well, I looked it up right now out of curiosity. When was the last vampire sighting?
All right, what's the last vampire 1892.
Sighting? 1892.
Well, this not the case here, Count Panic, because here in the 70s.
Well, but the action, these people, I mean, there was never concrete evidence here, right?
I don't know, man. So you're telling me that the...
I don't know.
Are you saying the Highgate vampire was a hooey?
No.
Oh, so you believe in the Highgate vampire.
But we don't have the full proof, don't we?
So we have two paranormal... hunters,
people
right?
You
got two individuals that were ready to go after one another because of their belief in the Highgate vampire. One believing, one not believing, right?
Hmm?
So I don't know. It's just, this case is so bizarre to me that I wanted to talk about it today. It's a shorter one, but a fun one nonetheless. And there's a lot more going on with those two than meets the eye with the arguments those two, because their arguments continued for a very, very long time.
They gave him something to do. I guess. I don't know, Bob. Well, I'm on the fence about it. I never talked to this relative, if they're a relative of mine, but I'll have to, you know, who am I to say?
So there is an ending to the story, at least from Manchester's perspective.
Okay.
So Manchester later claimed that the reference to a king vampire from Wallachia was just a journalistic embellishment. Nevertheless, in the 1985 edition of his book, also speaks of an unnamed nobleman's body brought it to Highgate in a coffin from somewhere in Europe. In his interview in February 27th, Manchester offered no evidence in support of this theory. The following week, on March 6th, the same paper reported that David Ferrant, as saying he had seen dead foxes in the cemetery, which we talked about already, and later writings, both men reported seeing other dead animals with throat wounds and drained of its blood. But, you know, there's different arguments back and forth about that. So, Count, what do you think of the story?
Bob, it's an interesting story. Again, I don't know who's telling the truth here. If it was really a vampire out there or not, were they just overreacting? But at the end of the day, Bob, I'm going to tell somebody if they, you know, I'm not like Nicolas Cage, Bob, disclosing that Bigfoot is not real. If they believed in the vampire, then so be it. Who am I to tell them? No.
Absolutely.
What about you? Yeah.
I think there was something going on in that cemetery.
All right. Something was happening there.
Do I think it's the dead rising from the grave? I don't know, but I do think that there is something definitely odd
What's
going
the last
on
time
there.
That happened. Let me check that.
The last time the dead rose from the grave? Yeah. What are you doing?
Well,
how often do you just pull research out in the middle of a show?
We have Google here. We got it. AI.
Yeah, that's terrifying. I don't like that.
Yeah, really nothing really accounted for.
Yeah, when was the last? I'm sure if you Google the last time somebody rose from their grave, you're going to get a...
I mean, we got the biblical sense of, you know, Lazarus of course, Jesus himself.
Christ,
but,
yeah.
But, like, I'm talking about, like, if in 1987 or something like that. Vampire or something.
Oh, so you're calling it hooey.
No! I'm not Nicolas Cage.
Oh, okay, so you believe that... Do you believe it was a vampire?
I don't know.
But you believe something was going on.
Sure, something was happening. Much like you, something was going on there. But could have been a raccoon or something like that, Bob.
A raccoon, he says.
Just scurrying across the cemetery and everybody got spooked. That's the thing, Bob. There's wildlife.
Absolutely. You got to think about.
Things are roaming around, deer. You can't just think there's ghouls and goblins.
Yes.
Glad you agree.
All
hey,
right.
What's the status on the Kermit the Frog ornament?
Oh, according to
Hold on here.
After Dark, it's
I got more research going on.
We got it.
Let me go to eBay for a second.
It's not available. I mean, it might be available.
Hold
anything,
on.
But why? So you're going to pull this up just to...
Kermit the Frog.
2026.
Hallmark.
This is the
It'll be 2020. Yeah, it's 2026.
Yes, yeah. This is the year 2026.
I know that.
This is not, you know, I want to point out that you and I are journalists at the end of the day. Yes, we're not covering.
Well, hold on here.
I don't know if this counts as what we would normally do in our journalistic endeavors there. Cal Panic is looking up the status of an ornament.
I'm seeing there's a 2026 Hallmark Muppets Kermit as Captain.
Yes, that's the one.
Okay, Talyer Bomb, $42.95 it looks like. Somebody on eBay has it here.
I'll let Mom After Dark know.
And I'll check the Snoopy one at another time.
So. All right, Count. Do you have any closing words for our audience this week?
Everybody, continue having a safe summer. Stay cool out there. And hey, if you want to go Halloween shopping, who am I to tell you no?
Right. All right, folks, on behalf of me and Count Panic, we just want to say goodnight to all of you and sweet dreams. To Mom, thanks for calling in tonight. That's an unusual thing for you. But thanks for calling in, Mom. I love you. Sweet dreams to you. To Dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're happy, comfortable doing whatever it is that you want to be doing. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. Remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.